Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. And I have a scary statistic for you. 1 in 5 Americans now has medical debt in collections. Our guest is the author of a new book on the subject of health care costs, Dr. Marty McCary, surgeon and professor of health policy at Johns Hopkins University. He's the author of a New York Times bestseller, Unaccountable, and his latest book, it's a jaw-dropper. It's called The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare, and How to Fix It. And, you know, there's some encouraging news in his book as well, which I was really happy to be able to read. So we'll talk with him about where the money's going, what's being done to change things, and, of course, we want to hear from you, maybe your own experiences, or maybe you have some questions. Join in at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send me an email to ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. And Dr. Marty McCary, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Great to be with you, Larry.
Oh, it really was a jaw-dropper. There's a few things I'd like to say right off the bat. One is I hope I am never in Carlsbad, New Mexico.
And have a medical.
And we'll get to that. We'll tell our listeners why in a bit. But and my jaw dropped right away. But maybe you can tell this story. What led you to travel around the country for 2 years talking about healthcare?
Well, for too long, people have said they don't understand healthcare because it's too complex. The reality is, just as the movie The Big Short explained our banking industry, so too can healthcare be explained by three underlying driving issues that we're not talking about that we need to talk about, and that is pricing failures, middlemen, and inappropriate care. So, I have a lot of patients that reach out to me when they feel wronged by the healthcare system. Actually, to be honest, I'm overloaded with emails and requests of people who feel wronged. And one that caught my eye was a woman in New Mexico in a town called Carlsbad, known for its famous caverns there. And in this little town of 28,000 people by census, but it swells up when the mining industry and the oil industry booms. She has 4 kids, 2 with special needs, and one of them had a little scare. She took the child to the emergency room. The kid was fine. But when they started the IV got infected. She went to the ICU for about a week and then was discharged in good health. But the woman got slapped with almost $250,000 bill despite having health insurance. She's done nothing wrong. I visited with her. There's a big blame game in healthcare, but everybody's getting rich right now. All the special interests are making record profits on the backs of everyday Americans. And people are getting crushed right now. I visited with Jennifer in her house, and she doesn't live like me. You know, God's been good to me. I'm a surgeon. Half of America has less than $400 of cash in savings. That's half of America. We have to remember, you know, what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck, because when they get hit with one of our big surprise bills, it's devastating.
Well, $250,000 to pay for something that wasn't your fault to begin with, that the hospital itself made the mistake. And then to find out that the hospital is suing half the town.
Yeah, I mean, the word was that she told me is that they sued her for the amount, which, as you said, it's the hospital's fault. That was a hospital-acquired infection. They sued her to garnish her wages. She doesn't make much money. And then she says, they've sued everybody in this town. And sure enough, as I went down there, everybody I talked to had been sued by the hospital to have their paychecks garnished. They sued the judge when the judge got a little medical care in the hospital. And the husband. They didn't realize. They had no idea what they were doing. They just indiscriminately sued. The bills are not itemized. I mean, this community hospital is terrorizing this town financially. and the docs said they weren't aware of it. I mean, this hospital should be ashamed of themselves. This is a disgrace. This violates the public trust. And it's not just in New Mexico. Our study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association suggests that it's about a third of hospitals that now do this dirty practice of suing low-income patients when they can't pay their inflated bills in full. Shame on us. This violates the great public trust in the medical profession.
And I recall a story, in the little story you told in your book about a friend who had got an unbelievably high charge for something that Johns Hopkins would have charged up to a small percentage of that same amount. And you talked to the one of the financial people at the hospital, and she listened to you, and then she just said, you know what, we can charge whatever we want, and they have to pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big myth in the sort of crime in healthcare is that we have people sign a form when they come to the hospital at a time when they're vulnerable, when they're sick and clutched over in pain. We have them sign their entire financial life away without seeing any prices. Under penalty of law, they have to be willing to have a lien placed on their home or have their paycheck garnished. That contract is invalid. And when I go to court on behalf of patients around this country, I tell the judges, Your Honor, I can't show up and mow your lawn and send you a bill for $5,000 without an agreement. Where are the prices? And if hospitals are not showing prices, they have no right to be suing patients, garnishing their wages, and terrorizing people, ruining their credit scores. One in five Americans now have debt in medical debt in collections. And half of women with stage four breast cancer report being harassed by medical debt collectors. We can do better. And so there's a revolution now to say, hey, we're going to show prices. We're going to have an efficient marketplace. If airlines billed us after the flights and had no can you imagine if there were no prices on travel sites? They'd be gouging, right? And they could argue, I'm sure they could argue, we don't know if the flight will be delayed or canceled, or maybe you'll consume a beverage. We can't predict. Well, they build in that predictability and the risk into the prices, and they give you honest prices for travel. And guess what? Prices have been stable for 30 years in the airline industry.
Yeah.
Well, in healthcare, the lack of showing prices enables gouging. 60% healthcare is non-urgent and shoppable, and now we're seeing the movement towards honest and fair pricing.
Yeah. Chris in Adams has something for us. Let's go there. Chris, hi. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. This is just a little bit off topic, but it's kind of cyclically involved in this. We take terrible care of ourselves in the society. We have lifestyle changes that are making us ill. And a lot of the people that end up with these huge medical bills are people who have not dealt with taking the bull by the horns and eating properly and exercising and not doing drugs or drinking or whatever. And so it's really important for you to realize that, you know, diabetes, which is mostly, I mean, type 2 diabetes is mostly caused by lifestyle choices. And it can end up being a situation where you've got gangrenous limbs that need to be amputated and blindness, and that all costs so much money, and that you can just bankrupt yourself at the end of your life because.
Yeah. Well, we got your point here, Chris. So I want to have Dr. McCary talk.
Well, that's absolutely correct. Most of the reasons people come in with chronic illnesses is because of lifestyle decisions. And one of the exciting stories in healthcare right now that I had the privilege of profiling are the mass growth and expansion of relationship-based clinics. These are a group of clinics. The doctors are saying, look, the billing coding throughput model is for the birds. We hate it. We hate the billing throughput model of healthcare. We want to spend time with people. We'll get paid a lump sum through direct primary care or through Medicare Advantage at no cost to the patient.
Iora is an example of that.
Iora, ChenMed, Landmark, Oak Street.
But I'm sorry I broke in on you there. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, they're doing exactly what the caller suggested. They're treating diabetes with cooking classes and treating back pain with ice and physical therapy instead of surgery and opioids for everybody. And they're talking about loneliness, one of the great public health problems that actually affects our physiologic reserves. They're giving people communities and groups within their clinics, and they're spending time with people and assigning people a navigator to coordinate their care through this complicated system. This is one of the many bright spots in healthcare today that is essentially a revolt against this status quo broken healthcare system.
I think the person from Iora, as I recall in your book, said it was easier for them to do in a way because they were starting from scratch.
They were starting from scratch. I mean, Rishika Fernandopoul, the head of it, who started it, said this model of, you know, he's a primary care doctor, this model of, you know, telling people something in a short visit and then having them come back and follow up in 6 months and then say, you know, pointing our finger, making them feel guilty, you didn't do this, shame on you. That is a horrible system. People feel guilty. They don't feel empowered. They need help. And these new clinics are spending time with people. That's Iora Healthcare.
Yeah. Tom in Green Bay, we'll go to you next. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I work in healthcare. And one of the I've been in it since 1984. And in Green Bay, it used to be below the national average for healthcare costs because the two hospitals, St. Vincent's and Dillon, worked together. Then Aurora came in, and the Congress had tried to invoke this competitive health care, and the duplication of services, it's increased the cost of health care significantly. Now we're above the national average.
No? Oh, I'm sorry, we lost Tom. Tom, I'm sorry we lost you. A comment, Marty?
Well, when American hospitals were built, most of them were built by churches, by the way, they were meant to be a safe haven for the sick and injured. And the way that they've adopted this throughput billing model right now has really taken them in a direction that nobody ever intended. We've created a monster. And I can tell you honestly, we have great people working at America's hospitals, the leaders, the docs, the nurses, but they're good people working in a bad system. And this crazy game that we've inherited of jacking up the prices to some artificial number so that we can give secret insurance discounts to different groups, that is a crazy game that we're now saying, hey, let's reject this and start over.
Yeah. Lynn in Eau Claire, we'll go to you. Hi, Lynn.
Oh, this is so pertinent. Thank you. I just got a letter yesterday again from, actually, it's Mayo. I owe them absolutely nothing. I have begged for years for them to give me in English an explanation of charges. I have to take every piece of mail and send it to a judge. I mean, this is, it's ridiculous. And it's, I don't go to the doctors anymore. It's not worth the stress and the constant calls, the letters. The last letter I got from Mayo said that if I don't pay them, they will make it difficult for me and my family to access medical care.
Yeah. Well, Dr. McCary,
these money games of price gouging, let's just call it what it is, price gouging and predatory billing of people who come to us as doctors at a time when they're vulnerable for help. These money games now threaten the great public trust in the medical profession to the point where 64% of Americans now say that they've avoided care or delayed care because of fear of the bills. And so what we need to do is create public accountability. And for the caller and for anyone else who gets a medical bill, we've listed 20 things you can do to negotiate or fight your medical bill on our website, restoringmedicine.org. I get into this more in the book, but obviously public accountability is important. After all, these hospitals were built by their communities, often by charities, supported by philanthropy. Many people donate to their local hospitals. We need public accountability for their billing quality, because billing quality is medical quality. Financial toxicity is a medical complication.
Our guest today, Dr. Marty McCary, he is the author of The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. And his website, he mentioned it, but I'll mention it again, restoringmedicine.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at following the healthcare money today with our guest, Dr. Marty McCary, who wrote The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. I know I was talking with somebody today that said they were going to give a copy of your book to their doctor.
Well, the goal was to create mass healthcare literacy. If we can understand these things, I think there's broad consensus in America on how to fix it. You know, a pothole is not a Republican-Democrat problem.
No.
Corruption is not a red-blue issue. There's tremendous consensus in the United States. We just have to explain healthcare in a way that people can understand it, just like The Big Short did around the banking industry.
You know, there's one thing that I wanted to bring up just because I my jaw dropped. And it's early in your book, you're talking about another method of or another thing that can create unexpected problems, and it has to do with health screenings at churches.
Yeah, unfortunately, the fee-for-service system, that is this crazy system where we just pay doctors on sheer quantity and not quality of their work, has led some doctors to recruit patients through over-aggressive health screenings. Now, I should just say, Larry, most doctors do the right thing and always try to. But some fraction are responding to this perverse incentive and doing health fairs at churches, screening people for little blockages and plaques in their leg arteries, despite a U.S. Preventive Services Task Force guideline that condemns doing screening on peripheral vascular disease. So my team uncovered a series of all-black churches where local doctors' groups were in there with an ultrasound probe saying, hey, let's look at the circulation in your leg. And they would say, this looks a little funny. Let's follow it up with a formal test in our vascular lab. Oh, guess what? We discovered a blockage. We're going to put a stent in there. We're going to balloon it. All these procedures, all of this money is coming from Medicare, which funds this practice. It is out of control. And now our team is using practice patterns in big data to identify outlier physicians so we can help them and call them out.
Yeah. And it kind of too bad because the church leaders and so forth are thinking oftentimes perhaps they are doing a good thing. There are probably screening services that are just fine, but it's something I just wanted to bring out as a warning or, you know, just a comment to keep in the back of people's minds.
Yeah, beware of peripheral vascular screenings. Beware of, oh, we have to check your circulation in your vessels and in your legs. We went back to the pastors of these churches, me and my students, who are, by the way, a bunch of millennials who have social justice as a generational value. They said, Marty, we're going with you. And we went to the churches and back to the pastors and said, this is what's happening. This is how it violates not only the medical guideline, but the public trust in the medical profession. And they were kicked out of those churches. So a nice victory.
Yeah, a nice victory there. Ben in La Crosse, it's your turn. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I guess I would just make a statement or two, speaking from a lot of experience. I'm a 39-year-old male. I've had diabetes since I was 12. I started having surgeries, and I now have a transplant. I've had both my retinas reattached. I am the bionic man. I would say that my experience in La Crosse community, where we have two great medical facilities, is I'm noticing every time I've gone in for the last 10 years, at every single appointment I stop up to it as I travel through the hospital throughout the day, sometimes up to four different appointments. You get to the appointment desk, you check in, and there's this little pad in La Crosse that happens to be called the Topaz pad, and you sign it. They just say, sign your signature. This is permission to treat you and permission to bill your insurance company. Well, if you read into that sheet, and you are a Medicare patient, as a Medicare provider, they're required to submit your bill to them. And along down that rider, not only does it have all these rules for you to have to pay the bill for them to be able to garnish things, but it also gives permission for them to sell your information to anybody they deem fit. And that is part of the billing problem also. I would finalize with this. In all of my experiences across the country, I have never yet, and I'm sure this does happen, but come across a doctor who has looked at me and just racked up a bill. It generally seems to be the hospital itself that is trying to, you know, get compensation for, you know, your services. I just never come across doctors that line me up with lots and lots of tests just so they can pad a bill. I think that's a little concerning that you're being asked to sign a piece of paper that says your information can be sold to whomever they deem worthy. I mean, maybe they're selling it to a medical research facility or something to do people good, but you don't know that facility is then taking good care of your medical or personal information also.
Yeah. Comment, Dr. McCary?
Well, American hospitals were running great until a bunch of consultants decades ago said, hey, you can get people to sign their financial life away. Risk managers started calling shots at hospitals, and you had this crazy game where hospitals just jack up the prices to make their discounts look better to different insurance companies. When you go to a restaurant and say, can I look at the menu to see the prices? They don't say, who's your employer? And, oh, you get this secret price list, and it's five times more than the next table, but you're not allowed to see what menu they have at the next table. So these sort of games, look, let me tell you something. If you go to an emergency room, you do not have to sign any financial document, period. You don't have to give your credit card. There's a U.S. law requiring hospitals to take care of any emergent condition, regardless of one's ability to pay. That is separate from a consent to treat. You can consent to treat, but you don't have to sign anything financially. If you're doing it electively, like in a doctor's office, let them know that you're not cool with this. Let them know you've got your own terms. We don't live in North Korea. We live in the United States. Mm-hmm. We have rights. People are not to be taken advantage of here against their will at a time when they're vulnerable. And so you don't have to sign these financial documents. And even if you do, they're not valid at a time when you're clutched over in pain from appendicitis.
Oh. Thank you, Ben, for calling. Mark in New Glarus, your turn.
Hi, Marty and Larry. Marty, you probably know these kind of numbers, but if we had a European or Japanese-style healthcare system, the numbers are we'd save about $1 trillion, which doesn't mean anything to the average American. But that's $3,000 per person per year. That's how much extra we pay. And then my question is, as an ambulance driver, we would very often have people turn down, you know, need a ride to the ER. I mean, they should have gone to the ER, and they turned it down because they did not have insurance. And I'm wondering how much that affects our healthcare system.
Well, first of all, thank you for your work driving ambulances. I did that in high school and junior high school even. And I think it's great to have people involved in their community running our emergency services network. I have a lot of respect for them. But this idea that people will not get in the ambulance for fear of the bill is exactly what the outliers, that's the problem the outliers have created. The price gougers out there, and there are ambulance companies that are just price gouging people. Sending them to collections, threatening them, threatening their credit scores, putting them into, you know, debt. The word gets out. And when hospitals price gouge, when ground ambulances price gouge, when air ambulances price gouge, it threatens the public trust for all of us that are trying to do our best. Doctors, nurses, first responders around America are having to deal with the consequences of a subset of institutions price gouging and eroding that great public trust for all of us.
Thank you again, Mark, for calling. Appreciate it. And another Mark in Madison up next. Hi, Mark.
Hi, it's Marcus, but that's irrelevant. Good afternoon. I would point out that the largest lobbying group in the state of Wisconsin is the Wisconsin Hospital Association, far out distancing Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce. This is a huge national problem, and I'm afraid I have to disagree with you, Dr. McCary, about these ideas of cosmetic fixes based on illusions of transparency and accountability. These things simply do not exist in our economic or government system. The problem is the profit system. Every industry, major industry, is gouging people this way, and most of them are the recipients of huge infusions of public cash in order to do it. This is simply a criminal system, and there's no reform way out of it. I'm afraid this is the truth, and if you look at the economic and medical systems in other countries, it's glaringly obvious.
All right. Well, what do you say to that, Dr. McCary?
Well, actually, I agree with a lot of what he said. If airlines billed us after the flight, they would be gouging all over the place. But what we have is an honest and fair, transparent, open market for prices in airplane flights. And that's what we need in healthcare. Now, not everyone's going to use pricing information, but you better believe surrogate proxy shoppers will. Health plans, employers, the uninsured, the out-of-network, the elective people shopping for services. If you get a fraction of them using prices, as is already happening in some of these small markets I describe in the book, you are seeing a revolution. When I went to Carlsbad, New Mexico, and heard the story of somebody price gouged over a CAT scan, I went to the radiology department, and I know how much these scans cost. I'm a doctor, and I order them all the time. And I asked at this hospital, how much is a CAT scan here? The woman gave me a little bit of the runaround, and finally I pinned her down, and she said, it's going to be about $5,000 to $10,000. After some more conversation, she said, you know, if you really want it done, go online to this website, mdsave.com. You will see that our hospital lists it for $500 there. You can click on it, and you will get that price. That's the power of the free market. The price to deliver a baby in New York City ranges from $4,000 to $70,000. That's the insurance negotiated price. That's not the sticker price. That's what insurance agrees to pay. Is the quality that much better at the $70,000 hospitals? No. There's no correlation between price and quality. In fact, a lot of times the best care and the best doctors are the most reasonably priced.
It's amazing. And as you say, there are hospitals out there that have a price list. They can show you exactly what you're getting.
Oklahoma Surgery Center lists a menu of prices for every operation. You click on a part of the body, and it will give you a price. It'll describe the procedure. When you buy a car, you don't pay separately for the steering wheel and the axle and the spark plug. And same with healthcare. We can use patient-centered language and get away from this crazy code book that we use. By the way, doctors hate it. We hate coding. We want to take care of patients.
Let's take another call. Bob in Crawford County, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm a retired hospital CFO, worked in small rural hospitals all my career. And as part of my job, of course, I set pricing policy. But and collection policies. I did just want to mention about 12 or 15 years ago, in the state of Minnesota, the state attorney general required hospitals to give self-pay patients, those without insurance, a discount equal to the discount that was given to their highest volume insurance carrier. And in our case, it was Blue Cross. And that policy really, when we instituted it, it didn't change our volumes. You know, all the hospitals had to do it, but it really didn't hurt us a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't hit their hospitals to give them that to give the self-pay patients that discount. Those who could afford to pay it, paid it, and those who couldn't, couldn't. But and I always said, too, there's a difference between the ability to pay and not wanting to pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. McCary?
It's a good policy. Look, it addresses a symptom of a larger problem, but this is restoring medicine back to its mission, saying we're not going to allow gouging of people because they're out of the network. The network is both the villain and the hero. It's the arsenic and the firefighter, because when you come in and they say, oh, you're out of network, what's the solution? You got to pay to get in the network. Why do we even have networks? Post an honest price for services, and we won't need to play these silly games. And people won't have to tiptoe around these networks. And so good stuff is happening right now. I think we're seeing markets move in the right direction. People are angry about these pricing. Hospitals, remember, they pay no taxes a lot of times. Why? They're supposed to be public charities. If they don't want to be public charities, pay taxes.
Oh, man. Well, how do we get things like this instituted in our country?
Well, right now there's a couple bills on the Senate floor in the United States Congress to try to address surprise billing. All the special interests are against all of them. They're just coming out saying they're nitpicking a problem with every bill. No bill is perfect, but we need some basic protections. I don't have a lot of faith, to be honest with you, Larry, in the government really fixing health care. I do have faith in employers, though, who are starting to do direct contracting and hire direct primary care and do deals with hospitals to provide care for their employees directly without insurance. We're seeing a bypass of insurance like we've never seen before. Individuals are buying faith-based co-ops as insurance and paying into these medical sharing plans. And what you're seeing is this entire back industry, we call the repricing industry, is starting to melt away as people are going direct. This is the great revolution to restore honesty to medicine, honesty to bedside care, and honesty to the billing side.
Read an article in the local newspaper about a company that actually, if a member of their, an employee needs some surgery of some sort, they actually fly them out of the country to Mexico, and there are surgeons there who actually are from the U.S. but work on a part-time basis. They'll fly down, and they pay for all the costs, and it's cheaper than having the same surgeries done here.
Yeah, a lot of businesses have looked at that. I think they're all afraid of being misunderstood as forcing someone to fly to Mexico when, in fact, it's just an option. But the reality is, domestically, this medical travel concept is getting really popular right now through telemedicine and remote consultations. Second opinion companies are very popular ways to get patients, another vantage point to see if they even need the procedure. You know, half of these back operations, when people get second opinions, they don't even need the operation, according to the second opinion. So Cleveland Clinic, others, my hospital, Johns Hopkins, are doing a lot of second opinions. And we're seeing an open market now for pricing as well. There's a market that employers can use to say, hey, we're going to sign on to this network of surgery centers and hospitals that are offering a reasonable price for their services. It's about a fifth of what we're getting locally, and we're going to offer patients to get a free consultation through this other network. There are good hospitals in the network. This is part of this revolution.
Yeah. And one other part, just as we're getting nearer the end, had to do with data for a group data versus individual data for doctors themselves, which I thought was interesting. As a way for doctors almost to self-police in a way, or for at least compared to your colleagues, if you're doing three times as many whatever procedures as anybody else in your hospital, you got to wonder why.
As a part of a project to cut the waste in healthcare, we've been doing this national collaborative to get doctors together and have them tell us, what is the pattern of overuse and waste in your field? What's the clinical practice pattern? Is it too many C-sections? Is it too many knee arthroscopies for arthritis? The doctors identify the pattern, and then we let the outlier doctors know where they stand in a confidential way. Of the outliers who see their data, 83% reduce their pattern of overuse, be it overprescribing of opioids or doing too many procedures in a certain situation, like operating on back pain without physical therapy, without the patient seeing physical therapy first. Whatever the extreme behavior is, the doctors define the metric, and we see the outliers auto-correct. We've seen a $27 million savings just around Mohs surgery alone, and we're seeing this movement now to really address waste within the medical profession. So it's an exciting time to address waste. I think ultimately this can replace the pre-authorizations that we doctors go through and we hate. I mean, these are steps that are just bog us down, and people wonder why doctor burnout rates are at record high levels. We love taking care of patients, but we don't want to spend our time on things that don't matter, like pre-authorizations and peer-to-peer and insurance networks. If we can bypass these repricing games, billing and coding stuff, and the pre-authorization procedures, we can take care of patients, and patients love it, and we see the waste get cut overnight.
How's your book doing, by the way, The Price We Pay?
I'm really pleased and surprised at how well it's been received, especially among doctors and nurses. It was written for the lay public, but it hit number 13 on the Washington Post bestseller list. So,
In my mind, that's a good thing. I'm glad a lot of people are reading your book, Dr. McCary, and I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today and talking about it. I mean, there's some terrible things that happen, but it sounds to me like there's some change coming.
For every problem, I try to focus on a bright spot or solution. Yeah. So that it was a real privilege telling the stories of these disruptors who are innovating care and getting us out of this mess.
Thank you again for being with us. I hope we have a chance to talk again.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Yeah. Dr. Marty McCary, our guest today, surgeon and professor of health policy at Johns Hopkins University. And his book is called The Price We Pay. And he mentioned his website, restoringmedicine.org. And he mentioned, I think, a 10-step thing that they have in that website to deal with Dunning letters and that sort of thing that you might be getting from hospitals, to be perfectly honest. So something to kind of make a note of that as well, restoringmedicine.org, and his book, The Price We Pay. Well, we are continuing our discussion about the health industry, and another book that I found really fascinating has to deal with ethical issues. And once again, I was really surprised at the myriad types of ethical issues that exist in the healthcare industry and with doctors. And our next guest, Dr. Jacob Apple, will be talking about his new book and about that. It's called Who Says You're Dead? That next, here on the Ideas Network.